outgoing ministry, gospel outreach worldwide involving nationals. We surrendered in this ministry in 2009. We're teamed up with 46 countries now, and we're helping 400 missionaries. And my pastoral goal is to support 10,000 missionaries. For $10 a month, $20 a month, it really helped them to starving missionaries and struggling. Thank you so much.
Amen. Y'all missed it. If you wasn't here during Sunday school, you missed it. I can do that. I'm Pastor, what do you call me? Pastor Danny. I'm Pastor Danny. I'm Pastor Danny. And this is cool dude. I ain't too good at that. I'm a redneck from North Carolina. But he is a... Boy, you shouldn't have said that. I was thinking good stuff and was going to give you some money. You shouldn't have said that. And he is a Filipino redneck. That's what he said.
Hillbilly.
Hillbilly.
There you go.
Hillbilly.
Hillbilly.
It's hillbilly, brother. The accent's on the hill. Hillbilly. Hillbilly. All right. This boy is 24 years old, single, and rich. That's right.
Hello.
His daddy's 20. His mama, right? Stand up, our sister. She's only 14.
She's 15.
How do they do that? How do they do? Must be pomegranates or whatever you eat down there. What do they eat down there?
White rice is the secret, preacher.
Rice.
White rice, yes, sir.
White rice. I was in a restaurant one time. This girl came. She said, "You want white rice?" I said, "What?" She said, "You want white rice?" I said, "What? You want white rice? White rice." Is that the way y'all say it? All right. Come on, he's going to sing for us.
Well, this is how I speak in English, in Filipino style. Hello, how are you all? But I've learned in Kaiser, don't say that. That's abomination. You say, how y'all doing today? That's how you do it. And when I go eat, I say, I want some taters, maters, biscuit and gravy, and some nanner pudding. So,
yeah!
I'm learning, preacher.
Yeah,
I'm learning.
Good,
well, keep praying for a ministry, and we have some prayer cards at the back, and have some few music CDs as well. It's $5, 10 songs. This will help me in my Bible college. But I thank God this morning for His goodness. You know, I don't know what's... you're going through this morning. I don't know if you have storms and trials in life, but I thank God that God can be in the midst of our storms.
Amen.
And this morning, I do believe that we just have to trust Him.
That's
and
right.
Lean into His words.
In the dark of the midnight, have I oft hid my face, while the storm howls above me, and there's no hiding place. Midst the crash of the thunder, precious Lord, hear my cry. Keep me safe until the storm passes by. Till the storm passes over. Till the thunder sounds no more. Till the clouds roll forever from the sky, and hold me fast and let me stand in the hollow of thy hand, and keep me safe until the storm passes by. So many times Satan whispers, there's no need to try, for there's no end of sorrow, there's no hope in the by and by. But I know thou art with me, and tomorrow I'll rise. storm, never darkens the sky. Till the storm passes over, until the thunder sounds no more, until the clouds roll forever from the sky. And hold me fast and let me stand in the hollow of thy hand, and keep me safe until the storm passes by. And hold me fast and let me stand in the hollow of thine hand, and keep me safe until the storm passes by.
Amen. 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 All right. I love that song. I'm glad the Lord can keep you safe till the storm passes by. Let me mention a couple things right quick now. We want to be remembering prayer those that need our prayers this morning. A lot of folks, as I mentioned earlier, are sick with the flu virus or whatever it is. And maybe we'll be having some nice weather here in a couple of weeks. Don't forget now, I'll be preaching every night this week down in Denver, North Carolina, at the Amazing Grace Baptist Church Revival. And we're going to sing Friday night. So everybody that's in the choir and ought to be, go with us. Leave here at 5:30 Friday evening. The bus will leave. And we're really looking forward to it. It's going to be a good time. Brother Mike Pittman's a pastor. Be a good time. So y'all come and go with us Friday night, revival. You looking for something to do on Friday night? It's cheaper that way. Don't go blow your money somewhere. Come and go with us. You can eat at McDonald's. That's real cheap. Okay? Amen.
I want to thank the Lord for saving me and being good to me and for giving me the privilege to be able to sing. You know, I don't know what you may have been going through right now in your life, but I can tell you one thing, that the answer is Christ.
Amen. I've heard the questions, seen blank expression, felt the pain that sin has caused. And I've dealt with heartaches, and I've watched the hearts break of families who suffer great loss. And I've sometimes wondered about the stress we are under. I admit I've even asked why. Then I recall the answer to all the Bible's questions. It's Jesus Christ. He is the hope for the hopeless, the water, the giver of life. He is the strength for the weary, love for those cast aside. He gives rest to the restless, freedom from fear. When things seem impossible, know that He's near. For all of the problems of life, the answer is Christ. May be hurting and desperately searching for answers you can't seem to find. There's so many choices, you're wrestling with voices, you're looking for some peace of mind. Feeling the shame from past mistakes as the tears fall from your eyes. Well, don't be discouraged, my friend, take courage. freedom from fear. When things seem impossible, know that He's near. For all of the problems of life, the answer is Christ. He is rest to the restless, freedom from fear. When things seem impossible, know that He's near. For all of the problems of life, for all of the pain and the strife, all of the problems of life, the answer is Christ.
Hallelujah. Amen. Go with that song, say amen. 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 All right. Everybody settle down now. Get your seat and stay there just for a few minutes this morning. And I want you to take your Bible, open to the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs, chapter number 13. The book of Proverbs, chapter number 13. Give me attention here just for a few minutes this morning. Book of Proverbs, chapter 13. Now, I'm going to do something different this morning than what I normally do. In that, I'm going to go slower to begin with, so I'm going to need you to pay attention. Pay close attention for the first few minutes, and you'll get the thought of this message. It's been on my heart for quite a while, and I'm going to tell you some stuff this morning I believe the Lord laid on my heart. Proverbs, chapter number 13, and verse 20. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20. The Bible said, "He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed." Now that's very simple. That verse is plain as day. You walk with wise people, you'll be wise. You hang around fools, you're going to get what they get, be destroyed. Here's my title this morning. Everybody listening? The title of the sermon this morning is, "Show Me Your Friends, I'll Show You Your Future." Show me your friends, I'll show you your future. Teenagers, show me who you like to hang around, I'm going to show you you in a few years. Adults, show me your friends, I'll show you your future. The Bible said that two can't walk together unless they be agreed. The Bible said that we're to be set apart. Now let me say this morning that I know that we as Christians are no better than anybody else. We're simply sinners saved by grace. So when I say hang around with the right people, I'm not talking like we're better than anybody. We're not. There's nobody in this world any better than anybody else, right? We're all sinners, and if it wasn't for the grace of God, we'd all be in hell or on our way. That is not my point. My point is this morning, it doesn't matter who you hang around, sooner or later, you will be like the people that you run around with. That's my point. Now I'm going to pull out some Bible stories this morning. And the first one, you don't have to turn to this, but the first one is way back in the Old Testament in 2 Chronicles chapter 21. And it's a man and wife by the name of Jehoram and Athaliah. The Bible talks about these people here. They were married and they got into some trouble. Now, as a background, if you don't read your Bible much, Jehoram was the son of Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat was one of the good kings of Israel. You know, they'd always have those kings and they'd say, "He did that which is evil in the sight of the Lord." And then the next one, he'd do that which was good in the sight of the Lord. And it's hard to keep up with all them kings back there. There's like 30-something of them. And Jehoshaphat was a good king. He was definitely a good king. So Jehoshaphat had a son by the name of Jehoram. Now, it just so happened that Jehoshaphat got hooked up with the other. There was Israel and Judah. The kingdoms were split, so they had different kings on both of those thrones. He went in alliance with King Ahab. Now, Ahab was a wicked king. And Ahab, if I were to tell you, many of you would know, Ahab's wife was named who? Jezebel. One of the wickedest women in the entire Bible, Jezebel. You have a lot of people name their kids Mary, and you don't find nobody name their kid Jezebel. I know some women that should have named their daughter Jezebel, but they ain't going to name that, right? Now, nobody wants to be. Jezebel is one of the wickedest women in the entire Bible. So you got this Ahab and Jezebel. Then you've got Jehoshaphat and his wife. Their son was Jehoram. Now, Ahab's daughter, or at least his granddaughter, was Athaliah. So Jehoram and Athaliah get married. How did that happen? How did that happen? It all happened by Jehoshaphat and his wife getting together with Ahab and his wife in an alliance to try to win a battle. Now, Ahab was a wicked man. Down the fire, brother. Ahab was a wicked king. He was a wicked king. Jehoshaphat had no business fooling with him. But I can imagine, they said, now we're going to have to try to win this battle here. Hey, king, I need you to help me win this battle. Wicked man. Here's a righteous man. And maybe somebody told him, man, you better watch hanging around with him. You know who his wife is? It's Jezebel. You know who? I mean, he's wicked as a devil. I mean, they worship idols, and it said he made Israel to sin. He's mean as a snake. And Jehoshaphat said, well, we just got this battle to win, and it's a business deal, and we're not really going to become close friends, but we are having them over to eat Friday night. And so here comes Ahab and his wife over to eat on Friday night. And the next thing you know, they're talking about things. And the next thing you know, they're watching TV together. And the next thing you know, they said, well, we got this trip coming up. Would you like to go with us? And the next thing, Ahab and Jehoshaphat out playing golf together like that. And the next thing you know, their wives, while they're playing golf, are going shopping together. And little by little, they formed an alliance with the wrong group. Now, you listen to me this morning. You better be careful who you form friendships with. I'm not saying you're better than anybody else. I'm not and you're not. But I'm telling you, you fool around with them. What happened in this case? You know what happened in this case? They thought, well, I can be friends with them. They're mean as the devil, and we can't talk about the Lord or nothing like that. But, you know, they sort of got money, and we sort of got money. And so that bonds us together, and we both have a boat, and we both have a condo somewhere, or we both have. So we're all friends together. You know what happened? Your kids got married. And the trouble started. Because whoever the kids is around playing with when they're little, they're going to grow up and marry them. Now the Bible teaches us that Jehoram and Athaliah got married. And what happened was, he married Jezebel's daughter. And Jezebel's daughter was not the woman that you'd want your son to marry. His son was the name of Ahaziah. And Ahaziah in chapter 22 was slain by Jehu at an early age. And Athaliah, that woman who had been raised by Jezebel, had her grandsons murdered so she could take the throne. She wanted to rule everything. You've heard of that Athaliah. She's the one that cried treason. And you heard about Jezebel. You know how that Jezebel died. She died with the dogs licking her blood. And they couldn't find nothing but the hands and feet of Jezebel. That's the death that she died. You know why? Because they rebelled against God. For the kids' sake, you better watch who you hang around with. Wrong association. You may bond a friendship with somebody, and they're wicked as the devil, and then your kids will be with their kids, and then they start growing up, and then your kids. I'm not saying you're better than anybody else, but you better watch who you mix your family with, because it'll get you in trouble. I can show you your future if you show me your friends right now. They got in trouble. You say, well, Brother Danny, we're adults. Mom and Dad need to run with the right crowd. You say, I'm an adult. I can choose my own friends. Okay, help yourself, but you'll regret it one of these days. You're the same ones that says, no, you're not being around them. That kid, they talk dirty. And that kid, I'm not letting you run around with them. And your mom and daddy think, it's all right for you because you're cool and you're adult and you can choose your own. You say, well, I just don't have no, my Christian friends are boring and she's bubbly. She's she's bubbly. And so me and her go places together. Yeah, she'll bubble you one of these days, buddy. That bubble's going to bust. Amen. I mean, you're going to get in more trouble than you'll ever get out of. You need friends that love the Lord. You need friends that are right for your kids' sake. That's right. You can't just say, let your kids run around with anybody. They never should have had that friendship. Never should have. They never should have made that alliance with a wicked king because they paid for it. It was on the news. It was on 2020. It was on every channel. Athaliah had her grandchildren murdered. Amen. There was death in the family. Listen, have you ever met people like that? And every time you hear somebody's getting killed, somebody's getting murdered, you know where you get that from? You trace it way back there somewhere where they got tangled up with the wrong group. It happens every single time. You show me your friends, I'll show you your future. But then we move along this morning. There's another story in the Bible, just like this one. It also involves a man and wife. It was Abraham and Sarah. Over in Genesis chapter 12 and verse number 8, the Bible said that Abraham dwelt at Bethel. Bethel, El Bethel, the house of God, or the house of bread. And Abraham was a great man. One of the greatest men in the Bible was Abraham. He loved being there. He went to church every Sunday. He loved the Lord. Him and Sarah had a great life. But Sarah couldn't have any children, you know. And they had a terrible time because of that. It bothered her a lot. Well, a famine came. And when this famine came, in other words, the economy collapsed. They moved down to Egypt in order to find bread. Are you listening to me? Are you listening? They were in the house of God. They had plenty to eat. They had plenty to do. And a famine came. When a famine comes, money's hard to come by. Food's hard to come by. So he took his wife and moved down to Egypt to get a job because he heard they was hiring down there in our language. Went down into Egypt. Now, if you know your Bible, Egypt in the Bible is a type of this world. There's nothing good ever spiritually come out of Egypt. Egypt in the Bible is a picture of the world. God called his people out of Egypt. God wouldn't even let Joseph's bones stay in Egypt. Egypt is a picture of this world. You know the song, Egypt was once my home, I was a slave. And they moved in the wrong direction because things wasn't right where they lived. You better be careful of moving to attract where the money is. You better be careful of moving in a direction just to get a raise. You better be careful of taking a higher paying job that'll keep you out of God's will just to keep the money coming in. That's what Abraham did. He went down there, and you know what the first thing happened? He went down there, and there's some wild people down there in Egypt. This old king, he's as mean as a devil, and they went in there, and here was like a flea market or something. Here he come in there, and he had Sarah on his arm. Now, Sarah was a pretty woman. I mean, she could have been on the front of a magazine, and they walked in there like that, and all those Egyptians looked around and said, "Whoa! Man, that's a nice looking woman. Let's get her over here." Because they wasn't used to seeing strangers there. Abraham brought his wife down there in Egypt where they had no business being. And there's a lot of men going to give an account to God for taking your wife and family in places they have no business being, people. Now you might as well buckle your seatbelt because it's going to get a little worse here in the next few minutes. You know how that woman comes on? She says, "We're expecting a little turbulence here in the next. Turn this thing down, please." That's what's going to happen here in the next few minutes. Amen. You'll get yourself in trouble by taking your family in the wrong company. Amen. They'll come back to bite you one of these days. Amen. And so he took her and said, "Man, whose wife is that?" And Abraham goes like this and goes, "Bloop," and takes his wedding band off. He said, "That's my sister." He's already backslid. Ain't been there but just a few minutes. He's backslid already. Said his wife wasn't even his wife. Ladies, how would you feel? Man, I said, "Who's that?" And your husband went, "I don't know." Some of you would probably be glad. But a normal, I mean, she said, "I can't believe you're doing this." She said, "Shut up, they'll kill us both. Are you going, you're my sister." Really, technically, you are my sister. She was like his half sister, and they was sort of inbreds, I reckon. But I don't think he was from Bethel. I think he was from West Virginia. But anyway, they was related a little bit, and they they found each other family reunion or something. But anyway, they went out and he said, "You tell them you're my sister." So she goes over there and they take her in there, and here's Sarah off over here in the wicked king's house. And Sarah is over there in that wicked king's house, and Abraham's over there saying, "Man, that guy would have killed me if I'd have told her she was really my wife." So his wife's having to stay out there with another man. And he's over here, and he's over here trying to act like he's dancing with somebody else. And he's like this, you know. It's amazing the trouble you can get into when your family goes the wrong way, isn't it? Look up here at me. Don't get quiet on me this morning. I'll tell you what time to pray, okay? I'll say, bow your head. And then you can. But until then, look up here. I mean, you won't look so guilty. You can get your family in trouble by taking your family to a place you got no business being. I mean, that music was a playing, and old Abraham, he got him one of them Egyptians, and he was doing like that, you know, skinny little thing there. But he was dancing with her, and Sarah was over here in the king's house and over there. And God told that king, he said, "I'm gonna kill you." That king had more morals than a lot of Christians do. He said, "I'm gonna kill you. That's a man's wife. Leave her alone." So he sent her back. And then Sarah started wanting a child real bad. And you know the story. She wanted a child real, real bad. And one day, Sarah sat down and she said, "Now, honey," she said, "we want a child real bad. And me and you can't have one. And I want a baby and I can't have one. And Lord, he's up in his 90s, 90 something, and I'm 90. And she said, I want to have a baby." And she said, "We're getting old and I want to have a baby. I want to have a baby." And you know what Sarah had been doing? She'd been watching TV. And she had watched Dr. Abloh and Montel and Dr. Phil and Katie Kerr and The View and all of that. And she said, "Honey, I know, I saw this on TV. We're going to get us a surrogate mama." He said, "What's that? Where'd you learn that?" "Down here in Egypt where you brought me to live." Listen, I wouldn't, if I was a man, I would not move my family from a good Bible preaching church where they're being taught right and move in the middle of hell somewhere where you make a lot of money. I wouldn't do it. I'd rather have a so-so job in a good church than a good job in a so-so church. Any day of the week. I'm going to tell you what I told some people. There's things more important in this world than money, people. Did you hear me? There's things more important than money. It's happiness and peace and having your family together and being right with God and being able to sleep at night when you lay down. She said, "You brought me down here. We're going to get you a surrogate." He said, "What's that?" She said, "I have a handmaid, Hagar." She was an Egyptian. And she said, "I am going to give you her to be your concubine. She can be your wife." A wife and a concubine were just about the same thing. In the Old Testament, it's almost impossible to tell the difference. And he said, "You think?" She said, "Yeah." She said, we want to have a baby, and I can't. So why don't you?" He said, "Where did you learn this stuff?" She said, "Oh, it's popular now. They have it all. It's all over the place down here. It's just, you know, like we're all just one big happy, you know, like sister wives. That's what we'll be. I mean, we're sort of like me and hers. You know." I said, "And you gonna like each other after this?" "Oh yeah, yeah. She's cool with it. I'm cool with it. You're cool with it." And listen, he said, "Where'd you learn this stuff?" "In Egypt. In Egypt." So sure enough, he takes Hagar, she gets pregnant, they have a baby, his name is Ishmael. There's a lady that reads her Bible through a couple times a year, he reads his through, the rest of you just sit there, because all you do is watch Abloh. His name was Ishmael. Read your Bible, brother. And Ishmael, when he was 13, the number of rebellion, was circumcised, and that boy grew up. Let me tell you what happened by that mistake. Do you know what that mistake has cost the world and me and you here in 2013? Abraham's union with Hagar produced Ishmael. Now his real son with Sarah was Isaac. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, there's the history of Israel, the Jews. When he got out of God's will, had this baby with Hagar, his name was Ishmael. Buddy, you can get yourself in a lot of trouble real quick by messing around with the wrong people. He had a baby by that woman. Should have never happened. It should have never happened. They had a baby by that woman, Hagar. That boy grew up and become the father of what we know as the Arabic people. Ahab, Iran, Iraq, all the Saddam Hussein, Osama bin Laden, every one of that group of people is from Ishmael. And the Bible said about his descendants, it said, he shall be a wild man. There's your terrorist. In the book of Genesis, that's where terrorists started. When Abraham took Hagar, he had that baby Ishmael, and Ishmael became the father of the Iraqis, of the Iranians, of the people that they're developing nuclear weapons right now while me and you are sitting in here. And if we give them scrap metal, they'll make guns out of it and shoot it back at us. It shall be a wild man. It said every man's hand will be against him, and his hand will be against every man. There is no making peace with terrorists. It cannot be done. The Bible said that that's what's what happened. Now, do you realize the chaos, the wars? Do you realize if Abraham hadn't have done that, 9/11 would have never happened? Do you realize you could still walk in an airport and not have to be nearly stripped down if Abraham hadn't have done that? Do you realize if Abraham hadn't have done that, gas would be about 89 cents a gallon right now? You see what half-fooling wrong people get you into? Lord have mercy at the mess we got into. Are you listening? Do you realize, brother, that there wouldn't be no terrorist? There wouldn't be any terrorism in the world if Abraham hadn't went that way? I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, you better be careful. The wrong crowd will get you in trouble every single time. I heard about this boy, this girl rather. She was wanting to go to some dance somewhere, and her daddy said, "No, you're not going." And she said, "It's okay." He said, "You know, there's wrong bunch of wild teenagers there and everything." She said, "Well, it's okay. It ain't going to bother me. I'm different than they are and everything." He said, "It won't." And you know what? He told her. He said, "Go back to the fireplace." She walked over to the fireplace, and the fire was out. And she said, "Pick up one of them coals there." And she picked it up. Said, "See that? It didn't hurt me." He said, "Put it back down." She put it back down. He said, "Now look at your hand." And had black soot all over her hand. Said, "See there? That's what bad company do. It'll suck you every time. It'll rub off on you. It'll rub off on you." You know what some of you people's problem is right now, right here, this morning? You will not hang around the right kind of people, and you're going to mess around and get in the wrong kind of trouble. I'm warning you, this is not just a normal sermon. The Lord put this on my heart the other day. I'm warning somebody in here, if you don't back off, you say, "Well, they're fun and they make me laugh." It ain't going to be funny when you're in a divorce court. It ain't going to be funny when your kids is getting arrested. It ain't going to be funny when the trouble comes your way. You can always hang out with church people. Look, hang out with church people, and I don't guarantee these. I ain't making no promises. But your odds are better finding somebody in the house of God serving the Lord. What in the world? Why as a sinner, why as a Christian, got in common with somebody living for the devil? Nothing. The Bible said, "Be not unequally yoked together." Amen. I saw some people the other day. I'm going to just give you a little thought here. I ain't seen these people in years. And they're some of the relatives, a young boy, young girl about 22, a girl about 19. And I said, "Hey, how y'all doing? I ain't seen y'all in a long time." They said, "Fine, Danny, how are you?" I said, "I'm doing great." And I asked them about the kids. And here is their response. Both of them's response. They shot right back at me and said, "Oh, the boy's name?" She said, "Oh, he's getting his MA degree at so-and-so, and he's getting his degree." And I said, "Well, that's good. What about the girl?" She said, "Oh, she's going to college around here, and she's getting her degree and getting her degree." And I was thinking, you people ain't got enough sense coming out of the rain. Although, is that the most important thing in the world to you? You see, some of you think that's normal. I'm will tell you something this morning. Being educated is not God, and it's not the most important thing in the world. Amen. Nothing wrong with an education, but being saved and right with God is first. You know what? If they'd have said, you know what? I'm so proud of that boy. He's 21 years old. He's already read his Bible all the way through, Brother Danny. He goes to church every Sunday. I'd have said, hallelujah, that's more like it. What in the world's wrong with us, people? We have become slaves to the system. We worship money. We worship the world system. I'm telling you, bad country. And if all you do is sit around and watch TV and talk to people like that, you'll start thinking like that. You know what the best thing in the world for your teenager to do? Serve God! That's what. And if you don't agree with that, you will one day when we stand before Jesus. I'll tell you another story right quick. Another story. This one, another married couple. It's important who you married people hang around. Vashti and Ahasuerus in Esther chapter number 1. He was the king. She was a beautiful queen. The word Vashti means sweetie, sweetie pie. What about that? And he wanted more land and power. He is at the wrong crowd, and he had this big party. And at this big party, everybody was drinking, and everybody was cussing, and everybody was taking God's name in vain, and he was about half drunk. And he called up his wife. She wasn't there, by the way. She's a good woman. He called up and he said, hey, you're the prettiest woman in the kingdom. Ain't none of these women in here pretty as you are. Why don't you come over here and dance for my friends? That's what he said. You say, is that in the Bible? Go on, read it. Esther chapter 1. Come over here. He said, we'd like you to do a swimsuit model for my friends. She said, you crazy? He said, now look, woman, I'm your husband. You get over here and you wear that pink bikini, teeny weeny yellow polka dot, whatever it is. And you wear that and you be over here 9 o'clock tonight and you're going to dance in front of my friends. And she said, well, now I know about all this stuff about submission and all that, but no. He said, I can't believe you. She said, that's right. No, ain't coming. You say, Brother Danny, shouldn't she have done what her? Listen, if your husband tells you to sin, you don't have to sin. You obey God first. Say amen. Now, don't you take advantage of that, girls. If he tells you to do something wrong, tell him to jump in the lake and swallow a snake. Now, just obey God first. And she said, I ain't going to do it. So he divorced her or something, and they wound up separating. You know what got him in that mess? The bunch of drunks he was hanging around with. Now I'm going to tell you something, people. If you work 8 hours a day with people, you spend over 2,000 hours a year with them people. That's way more than you spend with your church friends, most of you. And if you're at work and they're playing music and they're talking junk, oh, you ain't nothing you can do about it, and God will protect you. But here's where you draw the line. When all of them sitting around at the lunch table, and they're saying, hey, we're going out Friday night. Would you like to go with us? There's where you get in trouble. I see a lot of you nodding your head, yeah. You done been there and done that, ain't you? There's where you get in trouble. A Christian woman sitting at work with all these funny girls, and they're so cute, and they all look so good, and they're all skinny, and they all look good, and they all got nice rings all over them and in them and everything else. And they say, it's going to be fine. Why don't you go with us? Listen, a mad woman has no business going out with a bunch of heathen like that, or a single woman either for that matter. Am I right? Say amen. You say, well, all we're going to do is eat. No, it ain't. Because after you get through, they're going to say, there's a place downtown where the freaks all run around. Where'd that come from? Why, summer or something. I think I preached on that at camp. You know how come all y'all smile? Because you know more about that filthy music than you do your Bible. Hey, I'd be ashamed if I was you. I'd be ashamed if I knew every rock song, every rap song, and did not know who Queen Vashti was. I'll tell you your future by who you hang around. You got no business going. Listen, you guys, you ain't got no business going out with the boys after work. Married man has no business going out with the boys. You should have done that before you got married or before you got saved, little punk. You say, you talk awful big. Meet me outside if you don't like it. If I ain't there in 5 minutes, you start without me. Slim Jim will take that for me, won't you, Jim? No, for real. And listen, man, I can't imagine it. Yeah, some of these guys walk around the gym, go to the gym every day, stand in front of the mirror. You didn't know I had that, did you? Look at yourself in the mirror. And ain't got enough guts to get their family up and get them Sunday school on Sunday morning. Lord have mercy. I'd be ashamed if I was a grown man couldn't get my family out of bed, get them to the house of God on Sunday. Come on now, let's say amen. Better look out now. I'm just liable to haul off you. I ain't worried about what time we're going to eat. I ain't worried about the Methodists meeting us at the Sunday school over here at the steakhouse this evening. You're captive. You're trapped like rats. If you get up and walk out now, we'll think you're guilty. I'm just messing with you. I want to tell you something this morning, brother. I can tell you what you are by who you hang around. What you are is who you hang around. You need to break that yoke. You need to get away from that crowd. You say, well, I'll be lonely. I'd rather be lonely with Jesus than have a crowd of the devil around me. Hey, boys. Every woman at work ought to know that you are married happily. Even Jane. Amen. Ladies, all the men where you work ought to know that you are unflirtable. Whatever, that's a new word. You are off limits. That's right. They ought to know, man, you better not say nothing to her. Well, she's pretty good looking, man. Reckon she is. You know why women get in affairs so often? They send off signals that they're available. Not always, but most of the time. Brother, you send, boy, y'all are getting quiet on me this morning. And the person in here that's in the most danger is one that thinks, oh, I can handle it. It ain't bothering me. You're the next one that's going down. There should be no flirting with the girl at work or the girl down at the office. No flirting. It should be known that you're married and glad of it. And you know, ladies, you say, well, I just can't get these men to leave me alone. Yes, you can. I meet some every time I see them. They say, these men just want to leave me alone. You don't want them to leave you alone. That's your problem. Listen, you take that Bible to work. Lay that King James Bible down. And the first time they say anything, says, I don't know, me and my husband will pray about that. Mention your husband, they'll never say another word to you. You know how come they flirt with you? Because you give them a little hope. And you give them a little more. And you give them a little more. You're acting dumb, but you're really not that dumb, I hope. Vashti said no. Dig another right quick and I'm through. He wound up ruining his marriage, lost his wife and everything over it. Amen. I've counseled a lot of people in every divorce I've ever went through with people. Every divorce, somebody was messing with the wrong crowd. Trace it. Check me out. Every divorce, one or the other, or both, was around the wrong kind of people. David and Michal. Now, David was married to a beautiful woman. Her name was Michal. She was Saul's daughter. But the Bible said Saul gave Michal to David to be a snare unto him.
It's a weird thing, isn't it?
See, remember Saul, he hated David. He's jealous of him. For you that don't read your Bible, he's extremely jealous of David. He threw that javelin at him, tried to kill him. He couldn't kill him. He said, well, if I can't get him with a javelin and I can't sneak around and have him killed, I'll give him this little brat here. She'll bring him down. So he gave her Michal, the little brat girl. And the little brat girl married David, and she wound up being a thorn in his side. Listen, men, you got to watch them little brats like that. If they wanna look like Madonna, they'll usually wind up acting like her. So Saul gives her him. She looked good physically, but smelled terrible spiritually. When David killed the giant, she didn't rejoice. So she mocked David for shouting. David was shouting, and you know, the girls were singing, and it made her jealous, and she's looking out the window, and David is out there going, oh, glory to God, hallelujah, we beat the Philistines, hallelujah, thank you, Lord, glory to God, amen, read the King James Bible. He's out there saying that. And his wife was looking out the window, and the Bible said she despised him in her heart. You better beware of any woman who don't want you praising the Lord. I know a lot of men that go to church regularly. Well, I said, I ain't going. He said, I want to go to the camp meeting every night. I'm gone. And the poor old fellow has to come by himself. That's sad, isn't it? Isn't that sad? Better be careful who you get mixed up with. Because it's much at a time. And you know what that girl did? She stood there and despised David in her heart. And she looked at him and she said, you make me sick out there shouting and raising your hands and praising the Lord. Who do you think you are? That was a real blessing to him, wasn't it? And the Bible said the Lord shut that woman's womb up. She never did get to have a kid or nothing because of her sorry attitude toward God and His work and people praising the Lord. Got in a mess. Got in a mess. You say, well, he's got money. Money won't make you happy. You better make sure he'll go to church. If they won't live right before you marry him, they won't live right after you marry him. Probably worse. Like one lady said, she said, my husband says he loves me enough to die for me, but he never does. So if you love me enough to die for me, why don't you? But you know what? This company got her in trouble. I met a lot of people in rehab and in jail and in juvenile centers and in the hospital, and here's what they said, and I'm through. I wish I'd have never met so-and-so. All my trouble started when I run into them. I never got in trouble till so-and-so come along. How many times you heard that? You know, I can tell you what you are and will be by the people you hang around with. You listening? Some of y'all need to make some hard choices this morning. It's not always easy to do what's right. Sometimes it's the hardest thing you ever done in your life. But if you will, you'll come out better down the road. Living for the Lord sometimes is hard at first, then you're glad you did. Living for the devil is fun at first, then you wish you hadn't have. I can tell you what you are or what you will be by the people that you hang around with right now. There's a lot of girls cry and beg their husband to come to church, and he won't come, won't do right. And you know why? They got tangled up with the wrong type of person. How about it this morning? Let's stand by our heads for prayer just a minute. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Our heads are bowed and